Amen. What a problem to have. What a problem to have. So grateful for your participation and your willingness to labor there. In your Bibles tonight, if you would please, let's go to the book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number 11. The title of the message tonight is Learning to Trust the Lord. Learning to Trust the Lord. And I trust we can be a blessing to you as we look at some things from John, chapter number 11. It's an exciting chapter, and we'll read some of those things that brought about so much attention to that chapter, especially as we see the Lord Jesus resurrecting Lazarus from the dead. So you say, Brother Sutton, do you think that really happened? Do you really believe that? Yes, I really do believe that. Have you ever heard someone say, I just can't believe that? And yet those same people listen to what they do. They'll say, I can't believe that, but they get a bug or a virus that they can't see. They catch an illness that they can't pronounce. They go to a doctor that they don't know. They take a prescription that they cannot read to a pharmacist they've never met. They get a medicine that's probably on an experimental list, and they take it because they believe in the practice of medicine. But when you say Jesus did this or that or something else, you say, I don't believe that. I think they've got their want-tos and their wishes and their things that they know. I think they've got them messed up just a little bit. A songwriter one time said this. He said, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading the way. He's teaching me, and I'm learning to lean. There's glorious victory each day now for me since I found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean, I'm learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And then we were going to read the text of trust and obey, but I'll just give you part of it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we think about faith, and that's what we have to trust the Lord Jesus, I've never met Jesus personally face to face. I've never seen Him. I've never shaken His hand. I've read His resume. I like what I read in His resume. I like the fact that He started everything, and according to the Bible, He's going to finish everything. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, but we need to learn more about Him so that we can trust Him more. Faith defined, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we need to understand that by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. We'll make reference to that later. But when we have faith, the faith that the Word of God wants to give us, we can see great things happen. Now, faith is, when we break down the definition of faith, it's really a threefold definition. Faith is, number one, believing what the Lord has said and done. And only you can answer that for you. I can't answer that for you. I can look at your life and say, well, I think maybe they believe that, or I'm not sure they believe that, but I would only be guessing. At best, I'd only be guessing. But you know in your heart and your life if you believe what this book says Jesus has done. You know that. You know that. Whether you really believe that Jesus did it or if He's just flapping His gums like some people do. That'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. So it's to take the Lord at His word. I believe the Lord. A person who believes Christ says, I believe the Lord. And when someone says, do you believe the Lord? The answer is yes or no. There's not any wiggle worm in there. It's either yes, I believe Him, or no, I don't. And it ought to be that way for our lives. And then secondly, not only is it believing what the Lord has said and done, but it's believing that the Lord can do it again unless He's prohibited by this book. You see, Jesus Himself, who is the author of this book, Jesus Himself cannot step outside this book and do something that violates this book. And so as much as He loves you, as much as He wants you to go to heaven, as much as He wants you to have the best life on earth that you possibly have, He cannot do that if in order to do it, He has to violate this book. He can't do that. As much as he loves you, you say, how much does he love you? Think about the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And they laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Every stripe was for a person, and every drop of blood was for a person, and every hair that they jerked from his face was for a person, and the crown that they slammed down on his head was for a person. And that person was you. That person was me. And when we say, does he really love us, we need to pay attention. Yes, he does. He does. For no other reason would a man give his life like Jesus did other than the fact that he loves us. And so it's believing the Lord, what the Lord has said. It's believing what the Lord says he's done. Is to take him at his word. And then it's believing that the Lord can do it again unless prohibited by the word of God. We look at the parting of the Red Sea. If Jesus wanted to, he could part the Atlantic Ocean. He could part the Pacific Ocean and do them both at the same time if he wanted to. I believe he's powerful enough to do that. You see, I look at the stars at night, and I believe and know, according to the scriptures, that Jesus one day, there wasn't any light, there wasn't any anything, he created all those things. And the one who can make Earth and Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Pluto and all those other things, and Jesus isn't interested too much in the argument about whether or not Pluto is a planet or isn't a planet. Some scientists got together a while back and decided that all that we were taught in school, that Pluto was a planet, it was the last planet out there, it's really not a planet. I haven't read lately whether or not they revoked that or not, but Jesus isn't so much interested in whether we realize it's a planet or not, but it's a ball of something out there somewhere, and Jesus made it. He knows where it's at, he knows when it's going to come down, he knows all those things. And he could part the Atlantic Ocean if he wanted to. Jesus one time empowered a small nation named Israel to walk around a city that had never been conquered, around Jericho, and following his orders, when they shouted, the walls fell down flat. And so I believe that Jesus could make the walls of Jericho fall, and I believe he can make the halls of Congress fall if we'd get busy and ask him to do it like he wants us to. Jesus can change things. And so it's believing what Jesus has done. It's believing that he could do it again if he wanted to. And it's believing, here's the hard part. It's believing that he could use me. It's believing that he could use you in order to accomplish those things if he wanted to. That's faith. That's faith. That's the biblical definition of faith. Now in your Bible, if you'll, you're probably already there in chapter number 11. You know, I kicked myself this morning, especially during Sunday school. I could not see what I was reading hardly. And I said, I'm not going to make that mistake tonight. So I brought my large print Bible to read. So we're going to read a lot of scripture here in just a little bit. Chapter number 11, as we think about faith developing. As we go through this story of Jesus being told about Lazarus and one thing and another, and we go down to the resurrection of Lazarus and all the things that happened after that, we're going to find that there is a development of the faith of some of those people that were there. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. How about Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in a grave 4 days already. And now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Mary and to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We'll quit our reading there for tonight, and I trust it was a blessing to you. I trust that you saw some things maybe that you had not seen before. As we see in this portion of Scripture, we see faith developing in the lives of those people that were there with Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus. We want to notice some of those things. First off, let me say this, that as faith develops, we find these biblical truths. Romans chapter 14, verse number 23 says, And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now you put that down somewhere, and a lot of the things we do are sins in the eyes of God, because we do them without even thinking about it. I remember one time when we were in Austria, my wife had our daughters plan a meal and set the table and do all the cooking for that meal and everything. One time my young son said, Mama, who's cooking tonight? And his mama said, Tuesday. He said, doesn't the Bible say something about fasting and prayer? And I think that he was a little concerned that maybe it wasn't going to be good, but it was, and she's become a very great cook. But even to sit down and eat a meal, somebody said, well, we don't have to pray before we eat because we trust what mama cooks. And some little boy said, well, the pigs outside don't pray before they eat either, so are you more like them or more like them? And we need to understand that the Bible says faith, that anything we do whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 5 says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They realized that their faith hadn't been topped out. Increase our faith. Give us more faith. And the Lord said unto them, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 15, the Bible says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, listen, when your faith is increased, that ye shall be enlarged, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And here the Apostle Paul tells that great church that as they grow in faith, as their faith grows, as their belief in Christ grows, as their trust in the Lord grows, they'll be able to do more, and they'll be able to do more, and they'll be able to accomplish more, just keep everything intact. Well, in our text tonight, we see that faith is divided into three different levels. First off, there is the level of lacking faith. There is no biblical faith in the lives of some of these folk we read about, none whatsoever. Secondly, there's little faith. And then thirdly, there's large faith. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So as we think about lacking faith, note verse number 46. The Bible said, but some of them went their ways. You know, you can see a person's faith by their ways, by where they're going and how they're living and what they're doing. You can make at least a guesstimation about their faith. And the Bible says that all lost people are here. They have no faith. No faith. Oh, they might have faith that their automobile is going to start tomorrow. They might have faith that the tires will last. They get to the tire store, and they have faith that they have a job tomorrow. But as far as faith in spiritual things, they have no faith, the Bible says. And that's shown by the fact that they're going their own way. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's think about that for a little bit. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. Well, you know, I don't know that I ever envisioned it exactly like this, but in my heart of hearts, I imagined that God was keeping record of everything that I did. And if I did something that he thought was good, he put it on this side. If I did something he thought was sin, he put it on this side. And someday he's going to put it on a giant scale, and depending on which way the scale went, meant I had eternal life or I didn't. If my good outweighed my bad, I should be okay. If my bad outweighed my good, sorry for me. That's the idea that I had. And that's what the Bible's talking about when it says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Because it doesn't matter if you have 10 times the good on this side than you have the wicked on this side. When you die, if you die without Jesus, you're going to die like someone who never even heard the name of Jesus. Responsible for your sin, carried out into eternity because you were faithless and refused to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Religious lost or just simply lost, the result is hell. I've met a lot of people that they just really do believe that if I do enough good, and then they never know, and they could never know, have they done enough good unless they get into this book. And if they get into this book, it'll tell us that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand that there's a lacking of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible, not difficult, not hard, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we see these people who had a lacking of faith. They had no faith because they were going their own ways. Of course, they're going their ways. They went their ways to the Pharisees and told what things Jesus had done. They were like that crowd we were talking about today. They thought they had something concrete that they could tell the religious world. Jesus did this, and they could besmirch his name and cause him problems, and they had no faith. And then we find that there's little faith, and little faith or limited faith defeats the Lord Jesus in some respects. The faith to believe is a gift from God. Just the faith to trust Jesus is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Listen, "and that not of yourselves." That gift is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so faith alone looks at a problem. In verse number 32 and 33, look at our text. Here's a problem. The Bible says in verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Here's one who had little faith, and it troubles Jesus. I wonder, as Jesus examines my faith, and I believe he does that often, I wonder as he takes a look at my faith, gives me a report card of my faith, I wonder when I see that report card how shocked I might be. There's little faith. And then little faith believes that Jesus could if he were here. Verse number 21, the Bible says of Martha first, it says, "And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And then in verse number 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." So little faith doesn't believe Jesus has to be there to do something. I remember when the Bible tells about, I believe his name was Nathanael, and he talked about his faith, and Nathanael said, "Well, I've never met you before." And Jesus said, "Well, when you were over underneath some kind of a tree, I saw you there." Listen, Jesus knows you. He knows of you. He knows of you. It would be better than saying he knows you. He knows of you. Little faith says, no, the only way he can work is if he's here, and he's not here physically, so he can't do that things that he used to do. And then faith believes that Jesus could heal Lazarus, but doesn't really believe that Jesus could raise the dead. They limit. Little faith limits God. I wonder how many times we limit the Lord. I wonder how many times we hang an anchor on Jesus to where he can't do what he really wants to do because we're working with, we have faith, we're saved. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I don't know how we can believe that and believe he can't take care of our needs today, but it seems like sometimes we get mixed up and do that. And so sometimes we hang an anchor around Jesus Christ and he can't do what he wants to do because of our little faith. And then faith is slow to obey. Verse number 39, when Jesus has told Martha that he wants the tombstone rolled away, he wants the stone rolled away from the tomb, it says, and Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And so we find here that little faith always has an excuse. Little faith always has an excuse. Oh, sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes it's too cold. Sometimes the wind's blowing too hard. Maybe sometimes we're like Aaron, the brother of Moses, and we say, Lord, I'm slow to speak. I guess it was Moses that said that. He had an excuse. I'm slow to speak. I think it meant that he was a stutterer and couldn't work. And then God assigned Aaron to help him. He said, Aaron will be your 120-pound mouthpiece. I've never done this before is an excuse. Well, there's a lot of things we never did before. There was a time when you hadn't taken a breath of air before. But you'd sure hate to give up on that one right now. There's a lot of things we do for the first time. But here we find a lot of times people will say, well, I've never done that before. And for a person who has little faith, excuses come real easy. And then little faith causes Jesus to weep. Notice beginning in verse number 33. The Bible says, "And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept." And so little faith breaks the heart of Jesus. Little faith causes Jesus to weep. In Mark chapter 9 and verse number 24, you remember Jesus has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John had been there with him. They saw him transfigured, and he looked like he will look when we see him in glory. And as they came back down, they found the disciples were troubled, and the daddy was troubled, and this devil-possessed boy was in a panic because the disciples couldn't cast the devils out of this young man. And Jesus talks to the daddy and confers with the daddy, and the Bible says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And that's probably one of the most honest prayers in the entire Bible. Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead. Lord, I believe you died for me. Lord, I believe that my sin was placed on you when you died on the cross. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And my wage, my cost, the cost of my salvation was placed on the Lord Jesus. And he satisfied every bit of law of God's law because he died for me. I believe. But sometimes when we're asked to do something that's a little bit out of our comfort zone, we make up an excuse because our faith is little faith instead of giant faith. Instead of the faith that it could be, it's only a smidgen of what it could be. And we ought to pray like this man did. And you know, the reason that this man prayed like he did with tears, the Bible said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." I believe is because his boy was at stake. His boy was at stake. Whether or not his boy is going to be freed from these devils or have to live a short life with them and be killed by them, being cast into the water, cast into the fire, his boy is at stake. And I think sometimes if we'd just stop and ask the Lord Jesus, what's really at stake if my faith doesn't grow? What's really at stake if I don't learn to trust you more, don't learn to walk more by faith and more in courage and not so scared of everything? So there's lacking of faith, and there's little faith. And then we see large faith. And it begins really in verse number 40. And this is Martha. What did Martha hear? What did Martha hear? In verse number 40, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" The Bible testifies that she heard the word of God from the Son of God, and it began to change things in her life. I'm telling you, you can't spend time in the Word of God from the Son of God without it changing your life. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And she heard just those few words from Jesus, and she went from, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died," to doing what Jesus wanted her to do. Big faith, large faith, believes enough to obey. And so immediately she allows the stone to be rolled away from the tomb of her dead brother. And then real faith, large faith, brings a miracle. It brings a miracle. The raising of the dead. Who in the world could raise someone from the dead? Jesus can. Jesus did. Now, I don't know that Jesus is doing that today very much, but he could if he wanted to. He could probably do it more often if we besought him more, like Jesus is besought for some other things. And so we find that real faith belongs in every Christian. Every child of God ought to be able to have real faith, genuine faith, larger faith than it was this time last year. Our faith ought to be growing. When those disciples prayed, "Lord, increase our faith," I believe they meant it. I believe that God, if they got in a right relationship with him, who was the living word of God, their faith had to have grown. Real faith belongs in every believer. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 29 says, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." What if you went to Jesus about being sick and you asked him to make you well, and he says, well, according to your faith, you get well according to your faith. Some people would die on the spot because their faith isn't very much. And then 3 John verse number 1, or chapter number 1, it's only one chapter. Verse number 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. What if our physical health matched our spiritual health? Would that concern you? Mark chapter 9, verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew 15, verse number 28, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Who would benefit from our faith growing like God wants it to? Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, this is the woman that had the ailment for 38 years, I believe it was, and she came up behind Jesus thinking, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be well. And because she touched him, he says, someone touched me. Who touched me? His disciples couldn't understand. With the press that was pressing in on him, how could they tell who touched him? He said, I know someone touched me. Because he knew the virtue had gone out of him. You know what cost something when you touch Jesus? It cost him something. It cost him everything to save us, didn't it? And every time we approach him, it cost something. But Jesus said, turned about and saw her. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Now take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans in chapter number 4, if you will. Romans chapter number 4. Excuse me for just a minute. We're going to begin reading, I think, in verse number 17. Let's actually, Romans chapter 4, verse number 16, so we know for sure who's talking here. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be of grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Who, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. Now this is Abraham. Abraham was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body being dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Now let me ask you a question here. We're going to break this for just a minute. Are you fully persuaded that Jesus can do all that Jesus said he would do? Are you fully persuaded that Jesus is going to do everything that he said he would do? Now that's a two-edged sword. The Bible says this is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This cuts both ways. If we want Jesus to keep his good promises, then we've got to expect that he's going to keep the ones that we really don't want him to keep. The Bible testifies that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every child whom he receiveth. We don't like that so much sometimes. But we like those other ones where he's going to promise to give us things and take care of us and bless us and one thing or another. Well, the Bible says that we need to be fully persuaded. Listen, this book is either of God or we just will burn it. It's either of God or it's just another religious, what you call it, and we just will burn it. But thank God it's of him. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what Jesus had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Everything that God said to Abraham is recorded in this book. It's for us too. We're supposed to grab a hold of those promises also. Verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Faith, trusting the Lord. We need to learn how to trust him more. And the way we do that is to do what he says to do. And when we find out it works, then do it again. And we find out that worked, then do it again. What Jesus says to do, we ought to do. And we ought to trust him in doing it. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everything we need for spiritual survival in a world that hates God is Jesus Christ and the Bible. If we're making application of what Jesus says in this book, we can go through life, enjoying life, regardless of what happens. I was introduced to Austria by taking a trip to Romania. As a pastor, I went there to help to deliver Bibles back in behind the Iron Curtain when Ceausescu was still ruling in Romania. And I saw people there that were walking blocks and blocks and blocks to go to church. One time, and the church might be a block and a half or two blocks away, but they'd go down this way and then go up that way and go around here and back over here. And yet they were happy people, joyous people, people that you'd like to spend time with, people that just act like they didn't have a care in the world. They're people whose diets were limited. I saw people standing three or four blocks in a line for a window about the size of this window here, maybe a little smaller. And it was a bread line. They'd go by and they'd show an identification. They'd get a loaf of bread. The next person to get a loaf of bread. The next person to get a loaf of bread. Sometimes there'd be three or four people together because they would all meet there when somebody had kept their place in line and they'd get a loaf of bread. And when they ran out of bread, they'd just shut the door, shut the window. And there might be 100 people waiting for bread. But the Christians were happy people. The Christians were happy, jubilant people. You walk into a grocery store in a room this big, there might be 15 pallets of probably, 2-liter-sized bottles of olive oil. Nothing else in the grocery store, olive oil. That's it. And yet these people were happy. They were happy. What is it the Bible says? The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Are you trusting him like you should? Are you trusting him like the Bible says we ought to? Is your trust and your faith, is your faith growing? Is your confidence in the Lord growing? Are you more sure today than you were 6 months ago? Or are you still struggling with something because you're struggling with whether or not what Jesus said in this book is really true? Well, listen, the Bible says that every word in here is yea and amen in the Lord Jesus. We can count on it. We can count on it. And as we do that, we'll find that our faith grows. And it's evidence in so many different parts of our life. You have to decide if you want your faith to grow or if you want to just be stagnant where you are. But it's exciting to see what Jesus wants to do with us. It's exciting. I trust. You know, the Bible says of Jesus, he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They stifled him. That little faith stifles him. And he's free when we grow in our faith. He's free to do what he wants to do. And we can watch him perform miracles if we just fall in love with him enough to trust him a little bit more. Let's pray tonight. Thank you.